Have the children join me this morning.
I thought they were all coming up to come over.
You would have had a full bunch. Would have had right? Better snacks.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Now, has anybody ever told you guys to never give up on something? Like, Lacey, what did they tell you not to give up on? Nothing. Has anybody ever had someone tell them about riding a bike, maybe, if you're learning to ride a bike, and they said, don't give up? That happened to you guys? What about maybe in school, a teacher sees you struggling with some schoolwork, and they tell you not to give up, just to keep trying? Has anybody heard that? What's up, Josh? Do you have another story to share? Sometimes your Legos won't clip together and then you give up.
Yeah.
That can be a real struggle. I've been there.
Can be a struggle.
So, in our scripture passage today, Jesus told the people a story to remind them to never give up, too. He told them about a woman who was in need of some help. She wasn't being treated right, and she went to a judge. And at first, the judge didn't try to help her at all, but she kept on asking the judge to help her. And eventually, the judge gave in, and he gave her the protection that she needed and the help that she needed to be treated fairly by the people around her. And Jesus told this story, and he finished it off by reminding us that God is even better than this judge, because he wants to truly help us. He doesn't just help us because we're persistent or we just keep on pestering him like the lady did to the judge. He loves us and he wants what's best for us. And so even when we're struggling with something like our schoolwork or learning to ride a bike, or if we have trouble with our friends or with our family, we need to remember that God loves us and that he wants to help us in whatever ways he can, and that we just need to continue to go to him and never give up praying to him and calling out to him. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for your love for us and that you treat us so much better than the judge did in the passage this morning. And we just pray that we will continue to come to you and never give up on calling out to you, Lord. We pray this in precious son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Ryan, are you going to hand out the snacks this morning?
Now, we have all seen this sign. Teenagers, tired of being harassed by your parents, act now. Move out, get a job, pay your own way, quick, while you still know everything. Okay, we've all seen this, right? Okay. Anybody want that? It'll be up here later after church. You want to have that discussion over lunch. Those of us who are over the hill here this morning, we probably remember the confidence that we had when we were young. But this is what I have found out as I have matured. The more I see, the more I live, the more I don't understand. There are just so many things. Things going on in our country, things going on in the world, things that happen to innocent people. I could go on and on. There are just so many things in this life that we just don't understand. For example, we really don't understand disease. Why does a perfectly healthy child get a debilitating disease while another child in the same situation doesn't? That's one of those things I don't understand. And we don't understand accidents. They are so random and so indiscriminate. You start out your day just like any other day, and then something happens, and in a matter of seconds, life is forever changed. On Wednesday, I read in the paper, well, I read it Thursday morning, a man riding his bicycle, probably going to, I mean, riding his a motorcycle, probably, you know, I don't know, going to work or something, middle of the day. Deer ran out in front of him. He hit the deer and he died. You can never go back from that. I mean, you know, you can never get beyond that accident. On, we could go on with our list about things we really don't understand. Why is there so much pain in the world? Why do good people suffer? Why do we hurt one another? Why can't we get along? Why do some prayers seem to go unanswered? Now, all of these really difficult questions prompt us to ask yet another question, and that is, what exactly is it that we can count on from God? When we face the troubles of this world, when we face the heartaches of life, the tough challenges of this existence, what is it that we can count on from God? This parable in Luke 18 helps us to figure that out. Now, it is a parable that is kind of confusing to some people, and it does sound a little strange when we first hear it. The parable involves two people, an unjust, arrogant judge and a humble but persistent woman. The judge ignores her at first, but finally he gives in, gives her the justice that she deserves because she's such a pest. She won't give up and she won't go away. So eventually he gives in and he comes through for her. Now, let me emphasize something in a way that you do not misunderstand. Jesus was absolutely not suggesting that God is like the judge. Okay, we need to like get that. Jesus was not suggesting that God was anything like that judge. Jesus was pointing out that God is as different from that judge as day is from night. He is not saying they are alike. He is saying they are different. This is a how much more parable. Jesus was saying if a selfish, arrogant, unfeeling, unjust judge can help you if you ask, then how much more can a God who loves you intensely help you when you ask? There is a literary device being used here. It's used all the time in scripture. You're going to really wow your friends someday because you're going to know what it means. And it's called a call of a Homer. Call of a Homer. Let me read you what the definition is. It means that what applies in a less important case will certainly apply in a more important case. It means just an inescapable conclusion, that there is no other conclusion. So if this is true, then how much more is this true? Okay? And that's what this parable is. It is a how much more parable. Call the Homer. Remember that. So if the unjust judge can help you when you ask, how much more can God help you? Now, Luke makes sure that we know what this parable is about. He introduces it by saying this. He spoke to them in a parable to show that they should keep on praying and never lose heart. This parable means be patient. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep on trusting because you can count on God. Because you know what? God's going to come through for you. Now, with all of that backdrop for what we're talking about this morning, I want to talk about three ways you can count on God. These are the things that you can count on from God. First of all, you know what you can do? You can always count on God to hear you when you pray. When we pray, we are not talking to a brick wall. When we pray, we are not praying in a vacuum. When we pray, we are not speaking empty words into the air that hit the ceiling and bounce back. We are not talking to ourselves when we pray. We are visiting with God, and He is leaning in to listen. Prayer is conversation with God. To put it another way, prayer is friendship with God. So we can talk to God like we talk to our best friend. That's actually how I first learned to pray out loud. I ignored the people around me and I started talking to God like I was talking to my friend. I used to say some crazy stuff. People laugh. But that's how I learned to talk to God. I'd be like, oh, God, man, you know. Now, we need to know that God hears us and He understands and He loves us like a best friend, which of course He is. In our house, I have a very bad habit. It is a terrible habit. And apparently it applies only to John. I've not done a scientific study on that, but I'm thinking that maybe it does. Well, I guess there are times when he is talking to me that I don't pay attention to what he says. I know I'm the only one in this room. Now, I'm usually distracted. I'm taking care of something else. And I'll answer him. Sometimes I'll even be looking at him. And I will have absolutely no idea what it is he said to me. Well, he's come to figure that out. He has come to realize that, I guess 43 years, you know, brings with it lots of stuff. He's come to realize that I do that all the time. And he has actually changed how he speaks to me. That also comes after 43 years. Now he says things like, I am not going to talk to you until you look at me and pay attention. He actually says that, okay? And sometimes he will say, well, I'm not going to talk to you about this right now because I know you're thinking about something else, okay? That's what he says. He has even warned the girls about this particular flaw in my character. He has warned them. Okay, what you need to know is God is absolutely not like that. God hears us like someone who is actually paying attention to what it is that you are saying. So you can pour out your hearts to him and he will listen. Now he, for sure, is not always going to do what you're asking him to do. Okay, because he's God and he knows better. But whatever we need to talk to him about, he is ready and willing to hear it with love. He is not like the unjust judge who listens distractedly and then finally gives in just to get rid of us. Unlike the unjust judge, God listens, God hears, and he has compassion and caring like the best friend who loves us, which he is. Okay, secondly, you can count on God to be with you when you're hurting. You know what seems like would be the easiest thing? I mean, it just always seemed to me like the easiest thing, the easiest time that we would feel God's presence with us would be in like the beautiful and lovely places in life. You know, when we're on top of everything, you know, and everything's going our way, you know, you would think that would be when we would truly, truly feel God. But so many times, over and over again, people have shared with me, and this is kind of a quote like, you know, this is the hardest thing we have ever gone through in our lives. And our hearts are broken. But we know we're going to be all right because God has been with us like he's never been with us before. That's one of those things I don't understand very well. And I don't know for sure, but I think there could be like two reasons for that. First of all, I think we are more open to God when we are in pain. I have seen that be true at funerals. I think we are more receptive to his help. I have seen that be true at funerals. I have to tell you, I have participated in more people getting saved at funerals than I have at weddings. I'm just saying, okay? I think that when we are in terrible need, we are aware of how much we need him. And second, I think, is because God is like a loving mom or dad who wants to be especially close to their children when they're hurting. How many of us in this sanctuary this morning have dropped everything that was going on in our lives to run to the side of our hurting children? If I had asked for a show of hands, every one of us in this sanctuary who has children, our hands would have gone up. You know that, right? God is like that. A loving parent, not a harsh judge. A loving parent who especially wants to be close to his children when they are hurting. So first of all, we can count on God to hear us when we pray. And second, we can count on God to be especially near to us when we are hurting. But third and finally, we can count on God to go with us wherever we go. Remember how the psalmist put it? I love this psalm. Not actually the very end of the psalm is a kicker. But anyway, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If you go to the end of that, it says, teach me to number my days aright. I mean, what a good prayer, isn't that? But I digress. Okay. Well, the unjust judge wants to get rid of us. Just wants, you know, it's like, give me a break. Okay. But God wants to hold on to us. He wants to hold us in his arms. God is with us. And that, in a nutshell, is the good news of the Bible. On page after page after page of the Bible, that's the great promise of Scripture, that God is with us. We can count on God to go with us wherever we may go. A Methodist minister by the name of Luther Bridges, he was 26 when he wrote the last hymn that we are going to sing today. He was preaching at a revival in Kentucky. He got a phone call telling him that his in-law's home had burnt down. Now, it had been really close to the site of the two-week revival, so he had left his wife and his three small sons there, and all of them died in the fire. He was stunned. He was like, I'm at a revival. I'm an evangelist. I am preaching the word of God. And he said that he cried out over and over, how can this happen when I am doing God's will? He said God spoke to his heart and assured him that he still could trust him. And he mourned his family, but he was calmed in the midst of his storm, and he was given peace, and he was given assurance about his loved ones and about where they were and about that he would see them again. God gave him the strength to carry on. And he wrote the hymn, There's Within My Heart a Melody. And he wrote that after reeling from the personal tragedy that he had experienced. He ended up being an active evangelist, just an untiring active evangelist until the day he died in 1948. God wants to speak to our hearts too. He wants us to remember that we can count on him in every circumstance. So keep on praying. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. As the old saying goes, do your best. Trust God for the rest. You know, my grandmother, godly, incredible servant of God, she had a poem attached with a magnet to her refrigerator. She had lots of stuff on her fridge. I've got like other, you know, I've got like doctor's appointments, you know, grandmom had like little poems, you know, stuff like that, pictures of Jesus. But this is what, and I always thought this was so lovely. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petal with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. God opens this flower so easily, but in my hands they die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I have the wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust in God for leading each moment of my day, and I will look to God for guidance in each step of the way. The path that lies before me, only my Lord knows. I'll trust God to unfold the moments just as he unfolds the rose. I bet you some of you have that on your fridge as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us in your word about trust, that you speak to us in your word about hope, and how we can have faith that even if things are uncomfortable at best, tragic at worst, you are with us, and you are unfolding our lives just like a rose. Help us to trust that it's going to be beautiful. But we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.